Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Letter to the Romans. Paul was not concerned whether the church in Rome would like his blunt message about sin and deception. He emphatically laid down the law with a take-it-or-leave-it attitude. A Christian living a double life while simultaneously judging others for the same sin can expect the wrath of God. This concept was also taught by Jesus when he said that you have no right to judge another person if you are living in sin. It would be hypocritical to say that someone has a speck in their eye when you have a log in your own eye. God is not a respecter of persons, meaning he does not play favorites. You can judge yourself now or face Jesus on the other side. This message is entitled, Living a Double Life. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. Now I'm going to be speaking briefly today on the letter to Romans, Living a Double Life. And I'm going to read Romans chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judges does the same thing. But be assured that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We do not know who set up the division here of chapters and verses. And really, verse number 32 should actually have been the first verse of chapter 2. And let me read that. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges. For wherein you judges another, you condemn yourself. For you that judges, does the same thing. Secret sins. God is not like that. And Paul here simply addressed it and simply said it is unacceptable for the church in Rome to have members, some members, practicing homosexuality at the same time publicly condemn it. You cannot do that. God does not tolerate that. Living a sinful life or condemning others for living a similar life will bring the wrath of God on you. If you are a hypocrite, you live in sin. You have secret sins. And today, probably the worst secret sin we have in our churches is pornography. Where people are deeply in pornography. Another sin is video games. A lot of young people are into video games. They are violent. They are sexually immorality, murder, theft. It's bad stuff. And you can't really be a follower of Christ and play these time of video games. This is what Paul said in verses here. We come down to verses 5 through 9. But after you hardness and penitent heart treasures up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath, a revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuing in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jews first, and also of the Gentiles. Paul simply said, there is going to be a judgment. And you might say, what is a judgment? Decease. I have found out that cancer, we do know cancer is rebellion. It's a spirit, but the body is simply when cells are rebelling against the order of God. But during my time in ministry, 41 years, deliverances, I found out that cancer usually starts in the part of the body where people have sinned. This is where they start. We have breast cancer. We have, for example, we have prostate cancer. There are cancers that people necessarily have sinned, but done something else. So, God simply says, if you're going to sin secretly, you will be recompensed. For example, I talked about last week, homosexuals do not live very long. And the reason for that is diseases. From AIDS, different diseases like syphilis, herpes, gonorrhea, and so on, that breaks down a person and they die young. So what we need to do in as an individual is this. Do I have a secret sin? If you do, deal with it. You must say, well, I can't talk to anyone about it. Because if I do, they threw me out of church. There are some of you, not necessarily that are watching, but some people that are out there that are into bestiality. Now, if you as a Christian into bestiality, that's not something you go up and say to your pastor, say, you know, I'm into bestiality. First of all, probably your pastor does not even know what it is. When he finds out, he's going to be shocked. There's all kind of sins. And the devil says, don't talk about it. Hide it. Protect it. Just cruise on. That leads to the road to destruction. Find somebody of integrity. Somebody loves the Lord. Somebody with compassion. And say, I have a confession to make. This is a sin that has plagued me for many years. I cannot break it. I want to break that sin. I want you to pray with me. I need to share with someone to break the spell it has. You do that, and you're on your way to victory. In Matthew chapter 7, that's Matthew chapter 7, we read this. Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye? But consider not the beam that is in your own eye. Well, how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote from your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Here's what Jesus said. If you're going to judge, judge yourself first. I pastored several churches, and here's what I found out. Christians who are backslidden, Christians who have sin problems, are the most intolerant people on the earth. They are the most vicious ones. A person that is broken over his sin will be humble. But these people, I've had people come up to me and simply say this. there is a person in a church that holds a certain office, and we want that person removed. And they came up with a list and say, well, this person done this and this and that. And we cannot tolerate that. It has to be purged out of the church. And not only we want to do that, the person should stand publicly in front of the church and be shamed and then kicked out. I've had it happen to me not once, not twice, but a number of times. And every time, I simply said this. What's your motivation? What is motivating you to have this hatred? I said, I'm not going to do your bidding. I'm aware there might be problems. We're working on it. But we're not going to do it your way. It's sad that people do this. If we turn to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, and we read the following, that's the Gospel of John chapter 8, and the first verse here. Jesus went out in the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman, taken in adultery. And when he had set with her in their midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commands us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote to the ground, after he heard him not. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they would heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are your accusers? Had no man condemned you? She said, No, man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I command you. Go and sin no more. Jesus forgave her. Jesus said, if you be without sin, cast the first stone. What are we talking about here? We're talking about sin among believers. Every one of us got things we struggle with. It can be a foul mouth. It can be a bad temper. It can be a number of different things that we struggle with. And we ask God for forgiveness. And then someone come up and says, you know, you cannot be a deacon because you did this or that. You cannot be a pastor because you did this or that. You cannot be an elder because you did this and that. But before you go and correct another person, ask Jesus, what kind of stuff do I have that I need to repent? I want to be clean. And you know, the strange thing is this. When you repent of your own stuff and you're forgiven, you have a tendency of being merciful on someone else. And instead of coming up in condemnation, you come up in love and say, Brother, do you realize that you're doing this at home? Have you thought about that? And the man will say, No, I haven't really thought about it. Well, you know, there's something you really should pray about. someone comes to you like that, you're gonna say, okay, that's true. You know, I need to repent. But if somebody comes, you know, stick a finger in your face and simply says, hey, you need to repent of this. You're gonna say, just go away. I don't want to talk to you. Deal with yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I've been out sometimes in restaurants where we take members out, and they took me out for food. And some of them, you know, I didn't know that well, and some, you know, I knew. So we sit down to eat, and I had it happen several times. You know, the guy comes in, you know, he got, you know, pork chops on his plate, you know, he got some other stuff, you know. And I sit and I look at it, and I said, you know, this is not the time to talk about it. So I won't say anything. That's the wrong place to say, hey, man, you just got your plate? Do you know that's a sin? Leviticus chapter 11 says you're not to eat pork. You've been out of fellowship, huh? No, you talk afterwards. You said, by the way, you know when we were at restaurants? I noticed this, you ate some pork. Have you ever thought about what Leviticus 11 says? That's how you deal with it. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. And we read this. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This is for the Lord's Supper, but this applies to us all the time. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What a privilege. Jesus said, if you judge yourself, I'm not going to judge you. Hey, take care of yourself. It's like when you go to the supermarket. You got a choice. You can have a cashier check you out, or you can go to the automatic stuff and check yourself out. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Paul and says, judge yourself. And then he says this, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, would you come together to eat, tarry one for another. What a privilege that I can go to my Heavenly Father, and I can simply say, Lord, I want you to search me today. I want to judge myself. What have I done today that's displeasing? Sometimes we know what we have done is wrong because the Holy Spirit showed us. And then repent of it. Ask God to forgive us. Have it washed away by the blood. And then to be able to smile and say, wow, praise God, I don't know how to be judged. I judged myself and I repented. That's how every Christian should live. And then, in Romans 2:10, back to Romans chapter 2, and we look it up here in verse number 10. And let me get back to Romans here. Romans, here we go. Chapter 2, verse number 10. The glory, honor, and peace to every man that worked good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. I'm going to ask you this question. If you're down and out, if you're sick, if you don't feel good, who do you want to talk to? You want to talk to somebody that is upbeat. You want to talk to somebody that's compassionate. Somebody will say, I pray for you. I talk to you. You can share with me. This is how we should be. Looking around. How we can help one another. And you know, all of us get depressed from time to time. All of us have bad days. We're not all going to be on the top of the mountain. And we all need encouragement. In my family, I never got praised. When something was done right, silence. When something was wrong, done wrong, man, did I get it. And so I was warped. And I didn't realize that we need, when people do good, we need to tell people this. I need that. You need that. Don't say, I don't need that. You need it. You got a soul. Your soul is the same as mine. We made it the same way. We need love, compassion, praise. We need to socialize. We need to be cared for. We need to belong. That's how God made us. And if we don't get that, we get sick. You might say, well, I'm not sick. Yeah, you're sick in your soul. And it shows anger, retaliation, just, you know, not feeling good, cynical. It shows up. That's the sickness of the soul. If you're in harmony, you're fine. Beautiful. God not a respecter of person. Look in verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. God simply said this. I love you as much as I love this guy and that person. I love you all the same. I love you all. If you are a dad and you have more than two children, it's hard. If you got more than two children, it's even harder. Because you have children looking to you, Dad. Does Dad love me? Does Mom love me? Does Dad love me less than this person over here? It is so important for parents to make sure that each child knows you are just as precious as this person, that person. All your siblings are precious. None is above, none is below. You're all the same. The same goes for church. As a pastor, I don't want to have favorites where I simply say, you know, this is the group that I really love. These people I tolerate, and these people I don't like at all. We got to learn to love them. I might not want to fellowship with everyone, but I got to love them. Every member in the church is precious. Everyone counts. In the book of Acts 10:34, that's repeated. Acts 10:34. So we don't have it just in one place. And it says this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 10:17. That's a great verse. That Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, let's read that. 10:17. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, a Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty terror, which regards not persons, nor takes reward. You cannot bribe God. A lot of people say, oh, God, if you heal my son, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And God said, don't bribe me. I don't need to be bribed. I will heal you, son. You ask for it. You repent. I'm the healer. But you don't need to bribe me. Now, some of you, some people, I was one of them, had a hard time to receive. And so, you simply feel, you know, well, you know, I give, you know, when somebody give to you, you say, oh, I can't take that. That's not humility. That is stupidity. Not only stupidity, but it is a sin. Because what you do is this. When somebody wants to minister to you, God moving through them to minister to you, you said, no, you cannot minister to me. No, I'm unworthy. And you cannot even receive God's love. I had learned I couldn't receive. I didn't really like to receive things. People came up to me and says, you know, I'm going to give you this gift or this or that. You know, I felt bad. And you know what I felt bad? Because when I was a child, I was more or less told, you are worthless. Nothing. Our family came from trash. We amount to nothing. And my soul, believed that, was hurt and simply could not receive. And now I simply said, thank you. Praise God. I love to give. And now I'm learning to receive. I said, I'm learning. Because I'm still a little bit uncomfortable. But I'm learning to let people bless. The worst thing you can do, and really let me hammer it home, is you have somebody in the church, somebody you know, that do not have a lot of money, that might be on the poor side, and you got plenty. And they come up, they might give you some money, or they might be a little gift, whatever it is, and you know that they need it more than you do. And they come up and say, I want to give you this as a token of love. And you say, oh, no, I can't take that. You need that more than I do. That's killing that person. That's just squashing his love. Because you say to him, you have nothing. You can't give anything. You're worthless. I got a gift to you because you got nothing to offer. Everybody got something to offer. If we let a girl, boy, go out and pick some dandelions, make it a bouquet, and comes to mom and says, hey, mom, I love you. Here's a bouquet of dandelions. She looks at them and says, dandelions, huh? She's a good mom. She says, hey, that's great. I love it. You gave that because you love me. I receive it. It's precious to me. That's how you're going to live. If we're going to be true to God. Let's go back to Romans 2:12. For as many have sinned without law, shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. This shows God's fairness. This is the only really clear place we have in the Bible. But God simply said this. If you never heard the gospel, you never read the Bible, you didn't know what the Bible is. Like a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, they die in their sins. Yes, they will go to hell. But God is not going to take his spiritual laws and say, I'm going to judge you according to these laws. They'll be judged without the law. Paul said, that we have a conscience in ourselves, they be judged according to their conscience. God put in every person to know right and wrong. Now, those that have read the Bible knows the law, knows God's spiritual laws, but they don't want to get saved. They're going to get judged according to the law. It's a fair judgment. In the lake of fire, it's going to be degrees. I usually say going further down, it's hotter and hotter and hotter. And so all go to the lake of fire, but there will be different degrees. In verse number 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Is he speaking there about working for your salvation? No. But you hear the gospel preached. If you're a sinner, you hear the gospel preached. What do you have to do? You have to receive it. You have to repent. You have to do. You cannot do it simply says, okay, I heard the gospel. Uh-oh, I'm saved. No. You got to ask God to forgive your sins. You got to repent. You got to confess it. You got to ask Jesus to come into your life. There's going to be an action. You got to be a doer in order for you to be saved. And I want to put in here Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. It's a well-known verse to most of us, but those of the young Christians might not know it. Paul says, for by grace are you saved, through faith that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus the good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are saved by grace, faith. Now, in going back to Romans 14 and 16, as Romans 2, 14 and 16, we read the following. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are the law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thought mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And I'm going to close with this scripture here today in Revelation chapter 20. That's the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. And I think that we cannot repeat that long enough and to really get it in. In verse 11 it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. On this day, there will be a judgment. If your name is not written in the book of life, you will stand there, sentenced, and then spend eternity in a lake of fire. As I studied the life of Hillary Clinton, I found out that as a young person from about 10 to 14 years old, she was very active in a Methodist church in her hometown. She was very fond of her youth pastor. And the youth pastor had a strong influence upon her. And she asked him many times for advice what to do. But somebody later on, I don't know if you ever got saved, if you ever was saved. Because in the Methodist church, basically not very few people are saved. They talk about Christ and so on. But I'm thinking about, if someone would have spoken to her about Christ and led her to Christ, she's a fierce fighter. What good could she have done in the kingdom of God? Now, she worked in the kingdom of Satan. Unless something happens to her before she dies, she will stand before the white, great white throne judgment. And on that day, she will regret. She said, the defeat this time, I will think they will last a long time. She said when she gave her concession speech. But when she stands here at this judgment seat of Christ, She's going to say, this is going to last for a long, long time. What a tragedy. People make choices and go the wrong way. If you are watching me and you said, I'm leaning toward Christianity, I like what I hear, but you never made that decision, you need to make that decision. You know, Charles and I, we never know, you know, really how much good our work does. I talked to Thomas from Sweden this week, and I asked him, tell me again how you got saved. And he said God was touching him, he was seeking. He's in his 50s, very intelligent man, very well educated. And somehow he ran across our website, and he watched three videos that I made in Swedish about the coming of Antichrist, Jesus coming back, and so on. And he was convicted, but he didn't quite really understand. And then he watched one of our American sermons, and then Charles Terrell came on and laid out the plan of salvation. And he said it was like something opened up my understanding. He said, I began to cry. I couldn't stop crying. And he said, that's when I just gave myself to Christ and I was saved. If you are watching today and you haven't made that decision, you like Christianity, you don't like evil, don't postpone. Make the decision today to say, I'm going to take Christ today. I'm going to seal it now. Today is going to be my salvation. And if you are saved and you've been judgmental and you've been hard on other people, hard on yourself, how about today asking God to help you to forgive yourself, to release yourself, and to be able to receive the love of God and love from others. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the message we heard here from the Word today. Thank you, Father, for the Bible that is our guidebook. We just praise your name for that. And we thank you, Lord, that there are many out there that are seeking that they will find, Lord, and that you will open the ears of the deaf and open the eyes of the blind, because the ultimate decision is the decision made to accept or reject salvation in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave us grace and mercy in this election here in the United States. And I do believe it was your hand and the prayer that went up that stayed off the judgment that is righteously due to the United States of America. The judgment that is coming. There's no doubt that it's coming. It has to come because you are righteous. And we thank you for giving us that grace and that mercy, and that people will repent and return to the old paths, Lord, and that there will be many more that will be able to hear the gospel before a total meltdown takes place. We thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we still have relative peace in the streets, and that we have a abundance here in the United States of America. And it's by your hand, and we have nothing to brag about. Thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend.
You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Letter to the Romans, and was entitled, Living a Double Life. Paul was not concerned whether the church in Rome would like his blunt message about sin and deception. He emphatically laid down the law with a take-it-or-leave-it attitude. Some of the church members in Rome were living a double life. They officially condemned homosexuality as a sin, but were secretly practicing it themselves. It is the height of hypocrisy for a Christian to live a double life while judging others for the same sins. Jesus said you have no right to judge another person if you are living in sin. The good news is that God is not a respecter of persons, meaning he does not play favorites. You can judge yourself now or face Jesus on the other side after death. God cannot be bribed, so if you know you're doing wrong, you will be judged according to your knowledge. Those who sin without knowing the laws of God won't be held responsible for their ignorance. Those who know the laws of God and fail to apply them in their lives will not be justified. There are different judgments at the end of the world, and the Lord will treat humanity equally. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1573. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.